Okay, so we're going to meditate for about 5 minutes. Watch your breath. Go to the golden room. Just the brightness of the gold will prevent subtle dullness. Look out the window at the sky, deep blue sky. That expansiveness prevents the over inward turning of the mind, which can bring on agitation, subtle agitation. Look at the wide expanse of the valley and the mountains beyond. Come back to the golden room and ask your heart teacher to come. Gaze up into their eyes. Hold their eyes with your eyes. There's no reason to think or look at anything else. Just stay there, happily contented, relaxed, happy. if your mind wanders, use your shishin to catch it. Use your jemba to bring it back. And try to watch them doing it so that you can get used to them and use them more consciously. Come back to this room and relax. Open your eyes. So he says, Pumbo Ninang Tsu Deta Tun Teng Ne Drupe Chi, you know, Lola Tade Dun Nangyu Mepadang. If Nick were just, you can't move, okay? I mean, you can't sit in a different place. if Nick were just one, right? And again, over the centuries, the one, is he one or many? Normally, he's just one, right? And over the centuries, they've come to say, oh, Nick's just one. But what it meant more specifically in the olden days was, is Nick his the parts that make up Nick, or is Nick the sum total of them? The one thing which is the sum total of them, okay? And we're going to work on the sum total of them, okay? Yewa tade ten neki chi yin go, okay? Then if he were one, if Nick were one, he could never appear to be separate things, right? Okay. Tare de nangi mepatang. Yewa tade temegi chi yingu. So then he would have to be a one without divisions, which gets into a question, you see. He's a paradox. Nick is a paradox. Why? We talked about it in Phoenix. You can't see Nick unless you know how they tie people down to a chair and they track how their eyes track an object? And their eyes, you know, human eyes are going like this all the time. And what they're doing is, to see Nick, you have to see a couple of indicators of Nick, okay? You can't, you need to, you check the beard, but there's some other people with beards. And then you check the eyes and you knew the eyes. You know, the eyes are not the same, so those, and then he's wearing a certain t-shirt and the other person's not. And so to determine he's not another guy with a beard in the room, your eyes have to go like this, and you have to pick up different indicators of Nick. So we can say that you can't see Nick without moving around to different parts of Nick. It's not possible. You can't just be seeing the whole Nick, because you wouldn't recognize who he was. You have to check out indicators, and then based on that, you decide it's Nick. But you also can't, so you can't see the whole neck if you don't look at the indicators. But when you look at indicators, you're not looking at a whole neck. All right? So there's a contradiction going on. And that's what emptiness meditations or emptiness lines of reasoning are meant to point out, the paradox of how we do things. You know, like it's actually not possible that you're seeing new. Okay? In the way you think you are, it's not possible. Okay? If he were out there, and if it were true that I have to see his parts of him to identify who he is, I can't see all the parts at once. When I look at his hands, I can't look at his eyes. When I look at his eyes, I can't look at his ears. And then I can't look at them all together. The fact that I think I'm seeing a whole Nick is itself a gaccha. Okay? The whole Nick that I think I see is a gaccha. There can't be a whole Nick out. It looks like there's a whole Nick out there, but there can't be. Because if I wasn't moving around to different parts of him, I couldn't identify him. And if I stuck with the whole, I couldn't look at his parts, so I couldn't identify him. So if you look at the parts to identify him, you can't identify him. If you look at the whole, you could never identify him anyway. So what you think you're doing is impossible. And that's all proofs of, these are different ways of proving emptiness. Okay? You can't see Nick without looking at his parts. When you're looking at the parts, you can't see Nick either. But you're looking at the parts of Nick. Okay? So what you're doing is impossible. So what's really happening? Let me describe what's really happening and you'll feel more comfortable. There's a stage in your career, there's a stage in your meditative career and your spiritual career. There are five classical stages in your spiritual career. Okay? And they are reflected in the mantra, Jeddi Jeddi Bolo Jeddi Bolo San Jeddi Bodhisoha, okay, in Chinese. Gati gati paragati parasangati bodhisoha in Sanskrit. Okay, and the second one is important. Okay, at the end of the second level of realization. Okay, at the end of the second level, you answer the Nick question. Okay, how you're perceiving Nick. Okay, there's an experience. You have an experience. So I'll describe it. Okay, I've described it many times before. I'll do it again. So you're living with your lama, you're their cook, etc., which is proper, okay? And that's how it goes. And then, so you've been studying really hard, especially Chikdu Dao, which is this subject. Okay. Sorry, Chichedak. Chichedak, which is not this subject. But it is this subject, because how do you see, how would you say it, qualities and those things which are characteristic of those qualities. So for example, yellow and things which possess yellow. Okay, how do you see those things? Chicheda. And you've been serving other people a lot. And you've been meditating hard and you're up to the ninth level. Nine plus, okay? So all of those conditions are there. And then you go to make your lama a cup of tea. All right? You're just standing there in front of the stove, make a cup of tea. In Zen, they call it Satori, I think. But there's a debate about it, okay? And I'll talk about that. But anyway, you're standing in front of the stove. You're looking at a pot on the stove. And because of all that good stuff you've been doing, okay, meditating, serving your teacher, helping old people, studying hard, meditating really hard, regular practice. Because of all those factors, suddenly you realize that the pot on the stove is a tiny little picture in the back of your mind. Okay? I mean, you're looking at the stove, you're looking at the pot, and then you realize you're not looking at a pot out there. You're watching a tiny image of a pot in your mind. Okay? And what's out there is just some indicators of a pot. Okay? Like, you can't see a whole pot out there. You never can see a whole pot anyway, right? The back of the pot might be a watermelon. You don't know, right? You only see the front half. But your mind synthesizes a nice full thing. In your mind eye, you see a whole pot. So anyway, you're looking at this thing on the stove. You realize it only was ever some round silver and some straight black. Okay? Because the eyes cannot see anything else than shapes and colors. The eyes cannot interpret an object. You see? Your cones and rods can only detect colors and shapes. Okay? So you can't see a pot. There's no such thing. You can't see a pot because your eye faculty, the cones and rods in the back of your eye cannot make decisions. They can just change according to whether colors are presented to them or shapes are presented to them. So technically, all you're really seeing is round silver, black straight. Okay? And then you in that moment of deep realization, you catch your mind making an image, an impossibly perfect image of a pot, and laying it down on the straight black and the silver rim. Okay, it's overlaying it, like, what do you call those things? When you project it on the wall. Overhead projector. Help me, just say. Yeah, transparency. Okay, so it's like your mind is placing a transparency of a pot over the straight stick and the round, the red, it's not a stick, sorry. Straight black and round silver, okay? And that's all. And then within that day, you see emptiness directly. Those things happen at the same, on the same day. Okay? Mm-hmm. So what all this what all this book is trying to describe is that Nick can't be the way you think he is. If you saw Nick by looking at his parts, you couldn't see the whole Nick. If you can only see Nick by looking at his parts, then you can't see the whole Nick. But if you look at a whole Nick, you can't see his parts to identify him. What you're doing is not possible. He's not there. There's an image being a small, bright, luminous image is in the back of your mind, and you are overlaying it on some part, okay? And it's impossibly perfect. Then you start the fourth. Sorry, you go to direct perception of emptiness, which is the third of the five paths. Then you go into the gomlam, which means getting used to what you saw, and that can take 7 lifetimes. That can typically could take 500 years. And then during that time, you struggle with the applications of what you saw to real life. You see what I mean? How can I apply? Okay, so Nick is just a luminous little picture in the back of my mind, overlaid on some straight black and round silver. So how am I supposed to use that to help the world? How am I supposed to save the world with that? You see, and then Gomlam, which takes up to 490 years, you are struggling with this question. And I guess the first progress you make is asking yourself, where did the luminous picture come from? Why am I having that luminous picture? You see what I mean? Why did I see a silver pot? Why did my mind choose to make a silver pot from the round silver and the black straight? Okay? And then you start appreciating karmic seeds, mental seeds. You get more and more sophisticated about understanding mental seeds. And then in time, that removes your mental afflictions completely. Okay? Why? You realize the people who are screaming at you are coming from you. Then you don't scream back. And then there's no more bad stuff in your life and you reach nirvana. Okay? Basically. Right? No, because you don't respond anymore the way you used to. Because you realize it's a picture coming from you. And that if you don't like it, you have to stop doing it. Okay? So that's all. That's bodhisoha. Then you get enlightened and all that. Inna thare de nangyu me patang. So he's discussing, the whole next few pages are discussing, is Nick the whole thing, right? Or is he the individual part? If he's the whole thing, I couldn't perceive him because I can only do that by looking at his individual parts. If he's his individual parts, I would never get to the whole thing. Got it? Okay. So, tadet teme chi ying go. If he was the whole thing, de gyu tse ngo chi la dopata de. Ngo chi la dopata de. We used to say ze chi la dopata de, right? Yeah, that was... All the words I ever learned, I learned from Rinpoche by being his driver and his dishwasher. People thought I was stupid, spending, you know, 10 years driving and washing dishes. But he was like my dictionary. I never had a dictionary, you know. And I would say, what's Zechik Dopatade mean, Rinpoche? We were in a 7-Eleven, okay? We were in a convenience store. I said, Rinpoche, there's this weird phrase in the Madhyamika text. Zejik Dobatade, what's that mean? And he looks around and he says, you got it right here. You know? I said, what do you mean? Zejik means one substance. And Dobatade means different manifestations. And he says, look, all the crap in this store. You know, you got Twinkies, you got cupcakes, you got cherry pies, you got, you know, everything is the same sugar, flour, and water in different manifestations. It's all the same stuff, exactly the same stuff, with slightly different flavoring, you know, but it's all the same unhealthy stuff in different packages and different shapes, and that's it. Zechik means same stuff. Dopatade means different manifestations of the same, different, you could say manifestations of the same stuff. Okay? So here it is in the scripture. Okay, ngo chikla dopatade. Is he just one thing appearing in different ways? Okay? Is he just one thing appearing in different ways? Meaning, then we get to that part about Netzel dan Nansel Mitumba, which means, is he appearing to be many when in fact he is one? Okay? And if that were true, then he can't be real. Okay? If he were appearing as many when in fact he were one, then he couldn't be real in the way they, because real means what? I left you with that. Real means the way he appears and the way he is match. And when they don't match, that means he's unreal. Okay. So if he were Zejik Dobatade, okay, if he were one Nick with different parts of Nick appearing as an arm, okay, if Nick were one, but different parts of Nick were appearing as Nick's arm or Nick's head or Nick's feet, right? Then the appearance of a whole and the appearance of multiplicity and the reality of and the actuality of a singularity would be a contradiction, and that's not real because that contradicts the meaning of real, the definition. I'll say it again. If there were just one Nick, and then I had to check his parts to find him, then in a sense, the one Nick is appearing through each of his parts, right? In which case, the reality of Nick would be singular, one Nick, but he would be expressing himself as multiple parts of Nick. In that case, the way he appears to me as multiple Nicks, and the way he really is, one basic Nick substance, would be contradictory. And then he would become unreal. And then that's not real. Okay? And the other guy's trying to say Nick is real. All right? Okay. If something existed in reality, then the way it appears and the way it is should match. And if that were the case, if Nick were the whole, then it would be meaningless to talk about Nick. Okay? Why? Daki pumbu she jutse pumbu pumbu dan. Then when you said Nick's body and mind, it would be the equivalent of saying, the body and mind of the body and mind. Okay. There's next body and there's next mind. Okay, I'm using body and mind for the five skandhas because it's too complicated. But that's what it means. Okay, there's next body and there's next mind. Do you say, do we have the genitive expression, apostrophe S, next body and next mind, right? That would imply that Nick is separate from them because he possesses them. Okay, so there must be a separate Nick who's the owner of the body and who owns the mind because you use an apostrophe S. Okay, Nick's body and Nick's mind. So Nick must be someone other than the body and mind. Okay? No, and then you could say he's the whole. Nick as a whole possesses the parts, Nick's body and Nick's mind. Right? But if Nick were his parts, then when you said Nick's body and Nick's mind, you would be saying body's body and mind's mind. Okay? Is he related to his parts? Is Nick related to his parts? Yes. Can we think of Nick as a big thing that possesses his parts? Yeah. Is that thing separate from the parts or one with the parts? Is the big Nick separate from the parts of Nick or is he the same as the parts of Nick? Because if he's the same as the parts of Nick, he's multiple. Then he's like schizophrenic. You know, then there's all kinds of Nicks running around. Okay? All right? You're getting confused and you think I'm just blabbing. But it's what I'm trying to point out is that what you think he is wrong. It's not the way you think of Nick is not possible. You think there's one big Nick who possesses his body and possesses his mind. But at the same time, you can't say he's separate from his body and his mind. He is his body and his mind. So what you're saying is, when you say Nick's body, you're saying Nick's Nick. And it's a contradiction. It's crazy. You can't say Nick's mind and Nick's body, because Nick is his body and his mind. Okay? Okay? All right. What you're doing is impossible, and that's a proof that you're doing something wrong. Okay? Okay. So then he says, to say Nick's body and Nick's Nick would be the same thing. Okay. All right. Metu gyurwe, daktan daki pumbushe soso jopa dun meching. Then it would become meaningless to draw a distinction between Nick and Nick's body. If Nick's body were Nick, it'd be meaningless to talk about Nick and Nick's body. If Nick's body wasn't Nick, then where else is Nick? Okay? Okay. Then they quote Arya Nagarjuna. So Nagarjuna is a real Arya. And I think the proof of it is that the book he wrote was 20, 7 pages long. And it's just these weird statements, It's just weird, impossible statements that sound bizarre to us. Because we're bizarre. Okay? So here's one of them. Which is a good time to go back. Can you fire up the confuser? Just fire it up and hand it. You don't have to plug it in. I left a couple paragraphs at the end of Phoenix, okay, which we skipped, and I just want to get them to you. I want to make sure you have them. All right. Basically, they just talk about how lucky we are that there were at least two or three Aryas in history so that we have somebody to ask about what is emptiness. All right? Because if it weren't for having a few people around who had seen emptiness directly, you could imagine how weird these books would be. Okay. I mean, if someone didn't really know what it meant, what happens in historically is there comes an Arya, they make statements, and then people who are not Aryas repeat them to other people, and they get mixed up.
And then another Arya comes along in about 700 years and straightens it out. And then, you see, and then the whole thing happens again. Okay, so, he's about to quote Nagarjuna, who is an Arya. And I wanted to, what we did in Phoenix, we got to a part in the text, in the beginning of the emptiness section, where he just said, thank goodness we've had a few Aryas in history to straighten things out for us. Okay? Like he and I left a few sentences out of there, and I just wanted to give it to you. So just for a historical record, so you can get it into the right place, this is page 365A, which is slightly before what we started with here. Dena, dena samudun sawe gongalana mepani. Therefore, the unmatched explanation of the true thought, which clarifies that that most profound object, meaning emptiness, okay? And the author, Pabong Khunpache, is making a pun and a joke because he said the best book which clarifies the true thought of that deep thing, that's the name of Jetsun Kapa's most famous book on emptiness. So he wove the name into a phrase as a joke, okay? And then he says, Jetagni Chembelekshe Dinamyun. The works of Tsongkhapa are the ultimate means of clarifying the meaning of emptiness. Okay? But that's actually the name of one of his best books. Jedi Pagyuki Tenju Yin Se Nangne Tawa Tenna Bepe Shung Shen Pelche La Tsema Mi Zepar. Tsongkhapa went through, there are 3,000 different books in the canon from ancient India, commentaries. There are 1,500 sutras and tantras spoken by Lord Buddha. We still have 1,500 sutras and tantras spoken by Lord Buddha in Tibetan translation. And they don't exist in the Sanskrit anymore, maybe 10%. Due to the Mughal invasion of India. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then we have about 3,000 commentaries upon them from ancient India. Okay, over the period of 15 centuries. So we have those books. We have those two, Kangyur and Tengyur. These are the two great canons. Jetsun Kapa studied the entire Tengyur. He went through the whole body of 3,000 commentaries from India, trying to find a good explanation of emptiness. Okay? Jairang, and then what he found out was, Yin se 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 nang ne tawaten la bobe shung shen pelche la tsema min zepa. He couldn't find almost any that he felt were tsema, which means what? Pamana, which means correct. Jay rangi yidam jampeyana kandu shupana. Then he asked his yidam. Okay, yidam means like a guardian angel. Okay. So he went to the boss. He was confused. He went to thousands of books and he said, I can't really get a good explanation of emptiness here. So he did what everybody should learn to do. He asked his guardian angel. You know, he worked to find a guardian angel. The first book ever written by Tsongkhapa is a praise of Sarasvati, a goddess of music and poetry. And he made contact with her. And then he would ask her things, you know. So the whole thing is a lot easier if you just find a guardian angel, okay? And you know, you just ask them questions, you know. The whole thing is easier. So he went to his guardian angel, who was Jambayam, Manjushri, right? Kandi Shoot. Then he said, you know, I have a problem. I'm trying to understand emptiness, and I can't find. I don't feel that any of these books is really accurate. Okay. You're talking the Tengyur, okay? Jampel Ki, Jay Lamar, Manjushri said to Jetsun Kapa, "Dawa Trapani Sangyegi Shingham Shigne." There's this dude named Dharmakirti. Sorry, Chandrakirti. Okay, There's somebody named Jandakindi. He lives in a Buddha paradise. Saptumbha Chaju Sempa Namchu Nyingtop Chenshi. He is a very high level bodhisattva. And he's capable of undertaking, he acts out the deeds of all the bodhisattvas. He is of great courage. Which is also, by the way, a pun because that was a name of the Buddha in olden times. Nyingtop Chen. When the Buddha gave his life to the tigress and her cubs, he was called Nyingtop Chen. So it's a big... He's not just saying he was courageous. He's making an allusion. Nyingtop Chen Shi, Gumbo Luduki Samotar Temba Pelchir. This bodhisattva will appear on this earth to explain the words of Nagarjuna. Okay? He will clarify what Nagarjuna meant. Like 500 years after Nagarjuna. Okay? Samutaritama Pelchir, Samshin Jumba Yimbe, and he has come to your world just to do that. He came to your world just to clarify that. Yimbe Deshun La Nonchu Metsu Sung Shimba. Then those commentaries you can trust. Okay? You can trust Master Chandrakirti. That's his Yidam, his guardian angel, giving him advice. You know, you can trust. Find the books of Chandrakirti, you can trust them. Dadaki Shunutan Namajambayana Tsema Zepayin. And therefore, ever after, Jatakapa took the books of Master Chandrakirti and his heart teacher, right? Manjushri, his guardian angel. He took them as being Tsema, Pramana, truth, okay? Truth. Jason Raptawe Kortumbe Shunama Ranki Ranchaki to Samso Jepe Tsegoka. When people like us, guys, he uses the Rangchak, okay? When people are like us, when we are struggling to learn about emptiness, we open the works of Tsongkhapa and his lineage, right? And Goka. When we try to learn them, they are difficult. They're difficult to crack. Okay? Gokashin, Tokawa. It's difficult to figure out what they mean. Junwa, Shung Hajang Lingxing, Sabmane. These books are. Lingwa means. Lingwa means. What do you call it? Unfathomable. How's that? Unfathomable. Ling can also mean depth of the ocean. Okay? So it's a very, very rare word. Okay? So they are lingua and samo, profound. Therefore, they are not easily understood. But, okay, you know what he's going to say. But, yang yam shit to jelna. But if you spend time with them and you keep trying to chip away at them, okay? Jelna, shung shen na mepe selkatan sabke kipa chen duma yepe, you will discover jewels of understanding that you won't find anywhere else. Okay? So take, you know, you call it, confront these explanations and don't run away from them. They're hard. And crack them and keep chipping away. We have this thing in America, or I don't know, in English. I don't know, when I grew up, I never read a book twice, you know? I mean, when you're a child or a young person in America, when I was growing up, you read a book, and if you understood it, you got A's in school. And if you didn't understand it so much, you got C's. But they didn't ask you to keep reading it over and over. You know what I mean? And... So my relationship with books was like my relationship with movies. I never see a movie twice, except Gandhi. Or, you know, Date with an Angel. But that's a different thing. It's a great, anyway. That's a Yidam movie. That's a Guardian Angel movie. But, you know, normally I grok a whole movie after I see it once. I don't feel like I have to see it again because it's not worth it. It's not worth the time. But a Tsongkhapa book is a different thing. You can't relate to it in a single sitting. There's no such thing. You can spend the rest of your life rereading it And you will keep finding new things that you didn't understand before. It's like layer upon layer upon layer. Okay? People ask me, you want to go to the bookstore, Geshe Michael? I say, no. And they say, I thought you liked book. I said, yes, but I have Tsongkhapa. You know? And then they say, oh, you're just being sectarian or something. Or, you know, you're just being, you know? And I'm like, no, you don't understand. You know? You can read Tsongkhapa for the rest of your life. You can read one book of Tsongkhapa for the rest of your life. And it suffices. Everything you want is there. You know? So anyway, I just drink hot chocolate. He knows. I drink hot chocolate. He goes, looks at books. But he's got this manga thing. Yeah, okay. Manga I might look at. Okay. Saka dan sab ke kepa chen bima yebe. Tong ni la tu jungi sherem so kirim rimshin ko a ter tsab shenle chewa ong. The sap is a very rare word, and it means it's not the sap in Gyaltsap. It has a different spelling. Sap means like almost mystical firepower. There's no English word. Mystical firepower. Tsongkhapa's books have mystical firepower, which can bring you understandings of emptiness that you can't get anywhere else. Okay, so that completes a section which I didn't finish in Phoenix from before. Okay, from up above. Why did I say that? Because he's about to quote Nagarjuna. Okay, Arya Nagarjuna, who was brought to us by Master Chandrakirti. Okay, like I don't know, to put it in 1960s terms, Master Chandrakirti is Ed Sullivan. And Nagarjuna is the Beatles. Okay? All right. Somebody asked me who the Beatles were the other day. I felt really bad. Okay. So Arya Nagarjuna said, where was that? Here he goes. Nera lemba mato pa nera lemba mato pe dakye mayen chepetse nera leni dakye na kyoki dani me pa yin shesun batar. This is one of those Nagarjunian incomprehensible verses, and I'll give it to you incomprehensibly. Nera lemba mato pe if there were no self that were not the parts of Nick, if there were no Nick that were the parts of Nick. Did I get that right? Yeah. Sorry. There's no Nick who is exclusive of his parts. How's that? There's no Nick which is exclusive of his parts. In Tibetan, the word parts here is Nera Lemba. Nera Lemba means that which was taken on. And it always refers to the parts that you took on when you were born. Your body and mind that you assumed when you were born. Okay? So if there were no body and mind which Nick assumed upon his birth, then let's say there's no Nick which is separate from the parts he took on when he was born. Okay? Let's say there is no such thing. Nera lenyi dakina, then the guy would have to be his parts. All right. Then the guy would have to be the parts he took on. Kyoki dagni mepayin. If it's true that he is just the parts he took on, then he's not Nick. Because Nick's the whole thing. Right? Okay. Okay, here we go. Kiki dagni mepe. She sumbatar. Now he's going to try to clarify. Nyewa lem je pumbo ngale shembe nyewa lembe dak mepar gyurwe kin. You took on a certain body and mind when you were born. Is there a person who took them on? No, it's a question. The word for your body and mind in Tibetan And in Sanskrit, is that which was taken on at your birth. But who took them on? Okay. All right. See, I took a rebirth, right? Who took? You are the rebirth. Okay? I took on parts when I was born. I took on a body and mind when I was born. What do you mean, I? You were the body and mind. You are the body and mind. Okay, then it's we. You see, they're just trying to point out that there's a fundamental mistake in how we think. And by the way, I like to say, although people don't like to hear it, it's reflected in the use of language itself. Our languages are defective. You can't express in our languages, any language in the world, you can't express truth, because those languages are a reflection of a mind which was always making a mistake. Those languages themselves are mistaken. The use of you and me is a contradiction. There's no such thing as you and me. But we have those words. And we can't actually think or express ourselves differently. It's very difficult when your words themselves are defective. Your language is defective. But that's another story. Okay. Dharma se, not only that, jupale, what's jupa? There's two famous jupas, umala jupa and chupalan jupa. So which one would he probably talking about here? Yeah, the umala jupa, okay? Majjhimika avatara, Majjhimaka avatara, entering the middle way, written by Master Chandrakirti, okay? So he's jumping to Master Chandrakirti. So you can think of our whole emptiness lineage as Buddha, Aryanagarjuna, Chandrakirti, Tsongkhapa, us. Okay? Dharma se jupale. Lembo rang nyerlen chik rig numin. Detana le chepo chik nyi gyur. It would be a contradiction to say that Nick had taken on Nick. Okay? It would be a contradiction to say that Nick had taken on Nick at his birth. Detana, if that were the case, then the agent of an action and the action itself, or the agent of an action and the object of that action, would be the same person. The taker and what was taken would be the same person. And that's a contradiction. You can't reach out and take yourself because you're the reacher. Okay? It's not possible. Okay? What he's basically saying is that if Nick were the sum of his parts, okay? If he were just one, okay? If we could see Nick without checking out his parts, you see? If he were just one, then Nero Lang Jatang Nero Lempa Po would become the same thing. The one who took his birth and the birth that was taken would be the same, which is a contradiction. There has to be a taker before you have to take something that he took. Okay? One has to precede the other. Okay? And Lu Dang Lu Chen. The body and the one who possesses the body would have to be the same thing. Right? Nick's body and Nick would have to be the same thing. But then you couldn't say Nick's, because Nick's means he's different from the body. You know, John's book, Ben's pen, you know, they're different stuff. That's why Ben can have a pen, because he's not the pen. Okay? So the minute you say Nick's body, it means Nick is different from his body. But Nick's not different from his body, because you took away the body, you wouldn't have a Nick. Okay. Yen la tang, yen la chen. The one, the limbs of the body in Tibet, they consider five, which are arms, legs, and head. Okay? And the person who possesses those limbs, okay, Can you say my head, my arm, my feet? You say it, right? Then, but are you separate from those? You're not separate from them. So basically when you say my head, you're saying head's head. Or you're saying my mind. And they're both crazy. Okay? And it's not just a game, okay? We're not just playing a game. It's not just, what do you call it? Sophistry? It's not just like word games. It's that your perceptions are screwy, and it's reflected in the words you use in all of your languages on your planet. Okay? You say Nick's body, but Nick can't exist without the body. Nick has to be, in a sense, the body. And so he can't be, you can't say body's body. And you can't say Nick's Nick, because then they'd be separate. And Nick isn't separate from Nick. Nick is just one. Nick's not plural. We already said that. Okay? If your language is screwy, that means your thinking is screwy. Okay? And that's why aspirin doesn't work on your planet. Okay. Chik tu gyurwe kinchu. Derma se dak pumbo dang chik yina jupale. So suppose Nick is his body and mind. Alright, then now we got to Jukpale. The same text, Master Chandrakirti's text, says, Kyote Pumbo Dagni De Chir De Mangwe Dak Tang Mangwe Dak Te Dak Mangwe Dak Te Dak Yang Mambor Gyur. That's not a big deal. Are Nick's parts Nick? Is Nick's leg Nick? Can you have a Nick without legs, arms, and head? I mean, technically, I guess you could. But there was that movie. But now you're going to spend all night trying to figure out which movie. Can't have a Nick without the basic parts of a Nick. Okay. But if Nick is his basic parts, then there's lots of Nicks. Because there's lots of parts. If Nick is his body and mind, then he's already two. There's already two Nicks going on. Okay. If he's not his body and mind, then where else is he? Okay? There's just a basic fundamental problem with everything. There are five parts to the classical parts to a person, and then there would have to be five Nicks. Because if he's his parts, if Nick is his parts. If he's not his parts, then what is he? Is somebody else's parts? Okay. Yangna. Dak chik le me patar pumbo yang ngar mithe ching chik tu tawa kyun. If you go the opposite way, okay, if you say, look, Nick's not plural, Nick's not five Nicks, or two Nicks, there's only one Nick. Well, then he should only have one part. Because that's who Nick is. Okay? you're screwed up either way. If you say Nick is all his parts, then there's five Nicks running around. If you say, no, Nick is only one, well, then he only has one part. But he doesn't only have one part, because he's got at least body and mind, that's two. Got it? If it's confusing, you got it. Okay. Dark pumbo ngai yin shindu, mai yin eldu ning sam jorwa dun me pe kin. So he's listing problems with what it would be to say there's a Nick who owns his parts, his body and mind. Okay. If you say there's a Nick who owns his body and mind, if you say there's a Nick who took on a body and mind when he was born, which is to say there's a separate Nick from his body and mind, because he had to be there already to take them on, okay? Then there's all these problems pop up. He's just listing problems randomly, okay? Here's another problem. Then it would have been meaningless to come into your mother's womb. Because he was already Nick. Okay. If Nick took on a body and mind when he was born, then there's no reason for the body and mind to develop in the mother's womb. Because Nick took them on. So there must have been enough to Nick already without the body and mind that was produced in the womb. Okay? All right. Young, are we out of time? No, we're awesome. We still have a few minutes. Okay. By the way, I was late because I was doing some service for my teacher, and that's the way it should be. Okay, that's most important. We did it. Do you remember Connecticut? Who was there? They bought a tent. They put all the chairs out. They, a couple hundred people were coming. And then my lama gave me a job that weekend. Said, you have to do it this weekend. And I just canceled it. That, and there were like a couple hundred people sitting there in the tent waiting. You know, so you're lucky. All right. I never went. Then there was the the backlash. That was pretty funny. Okay. The lady who paid for the tent took me into a room. And that was a long story. But she was quite big. And she took me into the room and slammed the door. And then all my students were waiting. And then she sat down on the couch, but she fell off because she was so mad she missed the couch. And then, you know who. And then there was a huge crash. And they thought that she had thrown me to the window. And they all rushed in, you know. And she sprawled on the ground. Okay. Anyway, these are passing into myths. it's true. that was pretty funny. Yang na lu dang no ra xin yi chi ji na xi wei yao tu lu me sheng me tao wa ge wei ce na yang na sheng me tao wa ge wei ge. So if Nick is his body, okay? If he is his body, if Nick is his body, then you know when a person dies, you burn the body, right? And the body becomes bhasma, it becomes powder. And then in that case, I would also have to become powder. Nick would also have to become, Nick would become powder. The Nick who took birth and took on the body would also be pulverized, okay? But you don't say that. You don't say we burned the body and Nick got pulverized. Okay? All right. Then I say, not only that, na kewa chimal ninsam jorwa shindu lu kyang ninsam jorwa gyurwa am. Who takes rebirth? I mean, let's take it from the other angle. Let's take it from the death, you know, going on. Who crosses over? Ningtsam Jorwa, those of you who are, want to become translators, okay? Ningtsam Jorwa, a very weird phrase, means who crosses over. Okay? So who is it that crosses over? Did you ever think about it? I mean, how much crosses over? Because that must be the real you, in a way, right? Who crosses over? If Nick is his body and mind, there's no one to cross over because the body and mind were left behind. Who crosses over? Okay, Ningtam Jorwa say Shendu Luk Sam Jorwa Shindu Lukyang Ningtam Jorwa Gyurwam. If Nick were his body, okay, we're still trying to figure this out. Is he his body or is he the possessor of his body? Because neither one works. If he's his body, all these problems pop up. If he's not his body, then well, who the hell is he? I mean, where is he? Okay, all right? Because he can't be there without his body. Okay. Here we go. So if you were your body, then when you died, who takes the next birth? Who crosses over? The body is destroyed. The body is gone. If Nick is his body, then where's Nick after he died? Okay. Who crosses on to the next birth? Because the body's left behind. And then, you know, this is not compelling arguments to people who grew up in a culture that doesn't believe in rebirth anyway. Okay? But that's another story. Eva Gyurwam, Yangna Ludan Chima Chima Ningsam Jorwa Jorgyu Mepa Ta Nayang Ninsam Jorgyu Mepe Kyun. In that case, since the body can't cross over, then neither could Nick. Okay? All right? Kim. Dak sugme kam sukewa misipe kim. And if Nick is his body, then is it the case that there are no beings who don't have bodies? And we posit people who live in the formless realm. Okay, we say there are people who are almost bodiless. They're just minds. They're just, what do you call it? Disconnected minds. There are places where people live just as mental. They have very subtle prana bodies, but basically they are not physical. They are just consciousness. They are just beings of consciousness. They don't have a physical body and they don't live in a physical place. Okay. So if Nick were his body, then he couldn't take birth there because there wouldn't be anything left. Okay. But you don't believe all that anyway. Dak pembo mayimbe kyun che chung. Dak pembo yimbe kyun che chung. There would also be the problem of saying that Nick were made of atoms. Pembo means molecular substance. Stuff that is made of molecules or atoms. Is Nick made of atoms? Is Nick made of atoms? You can go like this. Or you can go like this. You're doing pretty good for having colds and all that. Not so many colds as earlier. Could Nick be molecular matter? No, because he has to possess that matter. It's Nick's body. Nick is separate from the body. Or you couldn't say Nick's body. Okay? Are you telling me he's not separate from the body? Is he separate from his body or not? If he's not, you can't say Nick's body. If he is, then you're running around saying body's body or Nick's Nick. Okay? Either way, it's a problem. Right? Okay. Na semdan chikyena. So he just covered the problems of saying that Nick is his body. Now let's see what happens if you say Nick is his mind. Semdan chikyena. Semla kyak tok min jungwe. Nala kyak tok jung mi sipa. What's kyak and how does it differ from kyak? I'll tell you another funny story. I like this story. I was in Tucson. His Holiness the Dalai Lama was teaching. And he has this, a friend of mine, he has an Oxford translator, a friend of mine, an old debate partner. And so he was translating for him. And His Holiness was talking about patience, you know. And so somebody asked a question, you know, someone keeps bugging me over and over again, you know, what should I do? And His Holiness was like, you know, go to them once and say, ask them not to do that, you know. And then if they keep doing it, then go to them again and ask them politely not to do it, you know. And then if they keep doing it, you know, like be a little more forceful and try to make it clear to them that you don't want to do it. And then if they keep doing it, tell them to kappa soul, which means eat shit. You know? And then the translator was like, and he's in front of like 5,000 people, you know, and he goes through the whole thing, you know, and then I'm waiting for the end, and His Holiness is waiting for the end, and he gets to the end and he says, "Express your extreme displeasure." So anyway, this is not that kyakpa. This is kyakpa, which means ice, or to feel cold. People who don't learn Tibetan carefully get into problems. You ask for a glass of water with ice, but you say the wrong word. Then you can get almost, then this would be a good place with all those stopped up toilets. Okay. Anyway, if Nick's mind were Nick, then Nick could never say, "I'm cold" or "I'm hungry." Okay? Because that can only the body can feel cold or hungry. All right? Not the mind. Misi, Sadan te gongsop ki tse na kyak na tokshe sawa mitepekin. And if you got cold or hot, or if you got hungry or thirsty, etc., it would become wrong to say, I feel cold or I feel hungry. Okay? Because those are only detectable through the bodily senses. If Nick was limited to being his mind, then there's those problems. He couldn't say, I feel cold. Because the mind cannot detect cold without the body. All right? Okay. So look, we just gone through demonstrating that Nick is not Nick's body alone. And then we went through proving that Nick is not Nick's mind alone. So what would be the next thing to disprove? Yeah, Nick is not the combination of his body and mind, which is the more difficult one. Okay, here we go. Na lu sem ni dang chik yin na, nge lu dang, nge sem she, ke shi ke che so sar zin be dun me be kin. If you are your body and mind together, then what sense would it make to ever say my body or my mind? Because then you're positing a person who's separate from them. Okay? If you are the combination of your body and mind, which you are, almost, it would be illogical to say my body and my mind, because then you would say the body of the body and mind, and the mind of the body and mind. Okay? It wouldn't make sense. You almost are your body and mind together. But one more thing has to happen, which is, yeah, there has to be a seed in your mind which forces you to see it that way. That is Shenyan Dak. We'll do just a few minutes, okay? Shenya Dak Pung Rangune Dupe Chik Yena. The block got broken. You do dang cha tam chene chik go shing. Moreover, if I were my parts, okay? If I were my parts, then if I were one thing, if I were the Nick who had the parts, okay? Because that's what we think, right? We say Nick's body, Nick's mind. So we think there's a Nick who's not the body and not the mind. He's the possessor of the body and the mind, okay? If I were that, then, I would always have to be one in all times and all places, okay, and in all ways. Then what does that mean? He quotes Aryanagarjuna again. Kelte pumbo dakyena keda jipa chendu gyur, she sumbata. Pumbo kejik chepa jitawa shin dakyan kejik chepa gyurshin, detana suki pumbo ngay chigyun chepe tsuki kejik chepa shin to dakyan gyun chepe tsuki kenji chepa tewekin. Kelte pumbo dakyan, this is Nagarjuna. Kelte pumbo dakyana, if Nick's parts were Nick, kedan jipa chandi gyun, then it would also have to come in and out of existence. Who's it? Nick. Okay? If Nick is the parts of Nick, if Nick is his body and mind, then Nick also would have to come in and out of existence. There's a couple ways to read this. I'll tell you one and you can go to bed, okay? Kenji kenji chepecha mitapitseni. The definition of a changing thing is that it goes through continual cycles of instantaneous destruction and recreation. Okay? All things that are changing, all the things basically around you are going in and out of existence in an instantaneous stream. Okay? They last for a second. Some texts say they don't even last. They're there for a second. They come into being in a millisecond, they last for a millisecond, they go out of being in a millisecond, because they are results of karmic seeds. The seeds pop open, the seeds die, the thing stops. And then there's another seed that pops open. So you are a series of stills. Okay? You over 50 years, 60 years are a series of stills. You are frames in a movie. And each frame comes and each frame goes. All things are like that. Okay? All things are like that. Because they're coming from seeds. And the seeds only last for a moment, for a millisecond. And then those frames fly by at 65 per second. And then we were talking about, I don't know, to get video to work on YouTube without looking jerky, it has to be about that. So your life is flowing at exactly the right speed for you to think there is a time going on. Okay? It's just a bunch of stills, seeds going off, and you're having discrete impressions at the rate of 65 a second, and they give you the what's the word? The impression, but there's a better word. Anyway. The illusion. They give you the illusion of your life going on and passing through time. Okay? Because there are seeds coming. You're getting, actually it's only still photographs being laid in front of you at the speed of 65 a second. Is it, Jason? 65? Just, yeah. It's around that. Not to look jerky. 100? IMAX. Okay, IMAX. 65 a second. Anyway, that's good enough. He does that for a living. Okay? So, it happens to be that the mind throws up discrete pictures at the rate of 65 a second. And that gives you the illusion of time passing. And of the world moving, okay? But it's not the world moving. It's just discrete pictures being thrown up in front of your mind at 65 a second. That's what your body consists of, and that's what your mind consists of. Nick's body and Nick's mind are just photos of the, you know, his body is like this. No, really, and it's... You see? But 65, it's even like, you see? And then it gives you the illusion of movement. But in truth, each still is coming in and out of existence. Okay, each still, each frame is coming in and out of existence. Therefore, ergo, if Nick were his body, Nick would be coming in and out of existence constantly. That's all. If Nick were only his body, if there were no Nick beyond the body and mind, who owned the body and mind, there's all those problems, right? But one of the problems is that if Nick was his body and mind, Nick would be here and gone 65 times every second. And we know it's only 65 times every minute when the room is warm and he's tired. Okay? Like he's in and out. Okay? I'm just having fun, okay? All right? It's not the case that he disappears every 65th of a second. All right? If he were only his body, then he would. Nick would be in and out every 65th of a second. Okay? All right. Maybe we should stop there. This is hard, okay? That's why I read you that little paragraph up above that said, you know, if you really want to get to the bottom of stuff, you've got to crack some kapha, and it's not going to happen on the first time you hear it. You can boil it down to, in practice, right? I think it's important to do it in practice. In practice, you have to boil it down to recognize the Nick that's not there. And I think it's easiest to talk about the Nick who's not at fault that he was blamed for stealing the books in the centennial room. Okay? Right? The Nick who's not at fault, who was accused of stealing books. Okay? The Nick who wasn't at fault when he was accused of stealing books. That Nick, what? Never existed. Doesn't exist, couldn't exist. There's no such thing. All right? Just stay there. That's enough. Okay. That's a practical emptiness. Why? Because the next time you get accused of something you didn't do, are criticized by anyone who doesn't realize you're perfect, then you won't get so upset, okay? Because the person they're accusing doesn't exist. The person who is wrongly accused doesn't exist. So you don't have to get upset about it, because he's not there. You don't have to defend somebody who's not there. Then you save a lot of time and wear and tear on your body and mind. Okay, this whole thing of trying to defend a Nick who's not there consumes most of your life. So if you could get over that, you might find other interests. Okay. Like golden rooms. Okay, hang in there. You're doing good.